And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome back into the studio Mayor Edna DeVries, Mayor of the City of Palmer.
We're coming to the end of 2018, mm-hmm. and I've been reminding people that the City of Palmer has a particularly nice situation in that the budget is complete and done, mm-hmm. and now...
And balanced.
And balanced. And that's an important thing. Is there any way for the budget to actually not be balanced?
Well, legally, no. We do have a good size reserve. So rather than increase revenue, we could draw off the reserves. And for those that may not use that word in their own personal, we would be talking like savings,
right,
those mm-hmm. kind of thing, investments. And so we could say that it was balanced, but we could be drawing from that. But this year we're not. We are, except for some capital projects but the sales tax and our other revenue are taking care of our operating budget. So,
just for a moment, because mm-hmm. it's curious to me. Many people are looking forward to the 2019 legislative session that's happening, and mm-hmm. the state budget. There's a very often the discussion these most recent years about deficit or having to use permanent fund monies, mm-hmm. which in some sense are kind of reserve.
Right, they are. Mm-hmm.
But the state's reserves are much larger mm-hmm. Than the city's.
Yeah, they have a few more zeros behind theirs than we do in the City of Palmer.
and also there's the other sense that because now there has been so much draw from the reserves, mm-hmm. We could do that again.
Right.
But, of
right.
course, it's not unending. You will run out of reserves. And the city seems to only use reserves when absolutely necessary, and there's a reason for having them, and that is for unexpected expenses, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it is. And, just with even like the recent earthquake, although Palmer was spared so much, we probably had less damage than any other municipality, in the whole region. You never know when something like that comes up and something may happen to water or sewer lines and or pumps and lift stations, et cetera, or buildings in town. So it's nice to have that. And I think, again, you just think about your personal life. If you have some savings, you think, this month is, either this year has been sort of unusual, won't be a matter, I will dip into it. But then you find it's pretty easy to continue that and not bring yourself back to a more restrained budget. So,
So one of the things that I do, particularly when we have the city manager in here, is mm-hmm. ask how things compare to years past. So maybe we could mm-hmm. begin there also by saying you've been watching the city's finances and what's been happening here for some time. And how would you say you would describe the direction of movement of what the city has been doing? The balanced
right.
budget is there.
Right, right.
Does that give some indication of where the city is headed into the future?
Well, we did the budget that we did pass was $17 million. That is the highest budget, at least for the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And one of those, of course, is the increasing health care costs.
Right.
That, we do have our employees do contribute to that, as well as, of course, the city does. So that's one of the larger increases that we see. And, of course, we do have the new, larger Fred Meyer, but the old building, as everybody knows, wasn't replaced by a large you know, collector of sales tax. And so that has made our sales tax for this coming year be a little bit more flat. Now, of course, if everyone does receive the permanent fund checks that, quote, were promised during, you know, probably a third of that or half of that, most people will probably spend, you know, in our town where we'll have some more sales tax. So that may, you know, in the year beginning or the middle of the year or towards or early fall, put in a bump there. But
sure.
Of course, we haven't changed our sales tax or our mill levy for, I don't know, probably 20 some years.
Long time.
Yeah, long time. And so that's, you know, all things that make a difference. Now, I don't know if it has, it's public knowledge now, but, you know, we have the new airframe business coming in out at the old, quote, if you've been here long enough, the Husky plant, which is in the industrial plant where they built the ATCO buildings
right.
for the North Slope. And that's going to bring in, but it won't be on the sales tax end, but they are going to build another building there, 10,000 square foot building, so that will make some increase in the property tax receipts for the city.
Plus, there are a fair number of jobs associated.
Well,
with that.
Yeah, I've heard the lowest I've heard is 55. The highest I've heard is 70.
Hmm. Okay.
And now some of their employees already had lived in the valley, so that's not like brand new jobs. And probably maybe a large of them, if they do live in Anchorage, will be moving out here. That's going to be a lot more people having lunch downtown or filling up their car with gas or stopping at the grocery store before they go home or, you know, picking up a birthday gift here or there or something like that. So, and that building, of course, has been, well, in a partial lease, but
pretty much
you could
empty.
Say it was vacant.
I have gone by that building, and I noticed it was quiet.
Yes, right. Yeah,
it was
yeah,
quiet.
Yeah. Quiet is probably a good word. So there are some things like that we're really looking forward to, and so it's just we're constantly on the lookout for those kind of things, and then of course. I don't know how recent the city manager's been in, but, you know, with the Glen Highway relocation, there's been some of those commercial buildings, warehouse-type buildings that's been brought into the industrial park
right.
For future businesses and things. And so, again, that will be some increase in the property taxes. And, of course, without increasing the mill levy, that's some additional. So, although those aren't grand scale things, they every you know an extra $5,000-$10,000 in property tax makes a lot of difference in our budget.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was particularly interested in over this past year was the discussion and in fact changes made to some of the ordinances governing structures. Residential structures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated in part because of what I'm seeing happening in many other communities around the country for both B&B type mm-hmm. short-term rentals mm-hmm. as well as a longer-term smaller rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years that I have lived here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm counting 40,
yeah, right.
It in some sense, the city has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the overall image of the single-family house and mm-hmm. there's some apartments and so on
right.
Remains roughly the same. But we do know that there's been a push to find ways to provide a less expensive housing
mm-hmm.
for either younger people who are
right.
starting out, older people who don't need a big
mm-hmm.
place,
sure.
And also to increase residential areas within the city without overcrowding and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed the city is working at it, and of course there are committees that are working on this too.
Right.
What's your sense of the evolution of housing in here? You've had a background in real
sure.
estate as well. What where do you see that going?
Well, I think it was maybe, and as you said, you've been at the meetings, I think maybe it was close to a year ago because the tiny house on the national scene has become very popular.
Right.
And so that was one of the things we did have our community development look into, and our code is set so there could be tiny houses, you know, put in. You know, one of the areas, you know, we do have some land. One of that comes to mind is Felsine's Trailer Park that's over
right.
On the way to the courthouse. So there is some areas where, you know, that could be done. But again, the city of Palmer has such a small footprint that we don't have a lot of, quote, parcels of land that even could be divided into or allowed, say, to, you know, have some unique types of multifamily. One of the other things that we've talked about where we haven't quite found a place for it is like hangar homes along maybe out in the airports on some of the property, you know, where they'd
right.
be able to put their plane underneath and have, you know, it would be outstanding view because you probably see the glacier and things.
Right.
And those would, you know, probably maybe be more mid-size houses because by the emphasis is to be sure you get the plane in the hangar,
right.
you know, so
right.
it doesn't matter about the house size as much. But, yeah, and there's a couple national articles regarding people doing away with single-family zoning. I think there was a
right.
Minneapolis and then a place in Oregon. So even though I know we're not ready in Palmer to start that, you have to take and sort of file those things away. So as the discussions come up, and as you know, there was a lot of discussion on the city council regarding, say, even like, say, seniors, like you said, that would maybe they don't want to downsize, you know, their house is twice as big as what they want. You know, how much latitude do we give them in a single family area to rent out a bedroom or two
sure.
or and either on a short term or even on a long term basis? And so those are things I think we probably will continue to deal with and discuss. And I'm sure it'll probably even come up again this next year.
Because my impression is that one of the things that seems to be happening, we've been told about that, is a changing kind of demographic. The population mm-hmm. groups, older population mm-hmm. group seems to be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And although there are certainly accommodations being made, there's some senior housing, so-called,
right.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
There's still that potential for someone to have a small house, but because their family's gone away, that still a person would still or a couple would like independence,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
just don't need a big place.
Sure,
and,
right.
In some respects, the downsizing effort that seems in many ways to be sweeping the country,
mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say, could apply so that what was considered a normal-sized house might seem to be large these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's into the future, but Palmer in particular, I think, is well suited for that because it is a compact place
mm-hmm,
with a downtown
right. mm-hmm.
and has long suggested it's walkable, but that
right.
means you can move around a bit,
mm-hmm.
which speaks to another interesting question in my mind, and that has to do with things like transportation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Has there been recent discussion about transportation within Palmer? I know it is walkable,
right?
Particularly in the summer.
Yeah, right. yeah. And maybe like today where it's 21 degrees, but
yeah.
not when it's 21 below.
And it's not big, so it's not like there's a requirement for a huge bus service.
Mm-hmm.
But there
mm-hmm.
still is a situation where from one end of the town to another is enough so that you're probably not going to walk,
right?
Particularly in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So the options seem to be your own private vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you become older, you don't want to drive. You don't actually need right. a car because you're not driving that much.
Mm-hmm.
There are taxis. And then, of course, out there, there's the Uber
and the
Lyft
mm-hmm.
and all the rest. Uber is not part of Palmer's world at the present time, or is it?
Well, I don't know. I noticed somebody on Facebook on the Who to Use had even questioned that. You know, is mm-hmm. it... Does it exist in. And so there were some people that said they were not aware of it, and a couple of other people said, yes, it does. I've used it. But you hear more about people using it when they are traveling.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I've you know, done and, it. Yeah. And so I think probably we see more taxis now in Palmer than we have.
A few more.
Don't
right.
you think?
Yeah.
And, the bus stops, I don't think they do the bus stops here anymore, even though we had made those pullouts, you know.
They exist, but there's not a, there is not a regular bus service internal to town.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to take the bus into Anchorage, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
which I've done a number of times.
Right.
It's going on out to the hospital or another location
right.
to catch
mm-hmm.
that bus
one
going in.
One of the park and ride areas, and I think the hospital one is the closest one that we have
yep.
to Palmer, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
And
so, what it's from your understanding, then there hasn't been much discussion about transportation within mm-hmm. within the city.
No, and even going back to the senior issue, even though seniors, you know, like even the new area where they're building the new senior complex, they can walk like to, you know, senior services there. But I would say probably the majority of the seniors, their doctors are not located in Palmer.
Right.
So for medical, you know, they do need some form of transportation, even if they have given up driving or don't or prefer not to drive, especially again in the wintertime. So it's probably something we should, you know, put on our radar and start to look at.
Yeah, because it's the next step of mm-hmm. completing the community as just. I was thinking about that. Well,
yeah.
How about as you look toward 2019, Mayor DeVries, do you find something in particular that you see as your own focus?
Well, just kiddingly, one of the things we are going to purchase for the city of Palmer in our 2019 budget is a new snowplow, because
oh.
that last well a week ago I think today the snowplow broke down and we had to order parts, and of course we had gotten some snow, and so
oh yeah perfect
yeah.
timing
yeah, yeah. right and so I'm happy looking forward to that, and we're going to get a couple of police cars, and we're going to do some expansion in connecting some more of our trails and our, you know, pathways around town, and so I think all of those things are good. I guess my anything personal was the fact that just to continue the community spirit that we have in Palmer, everybody, you know, continuing to work together and care for each other, we just continue to be open, just like the new assisted living and that Capstone, you know, and getting back to transportation, you know, Capstone is, what is that, about at Hemmer Road, probably, what, a mile
right.
and a half.
Mm-hmm.
from where we are right now.
Exactly.
And that doesn't seem very far when you say it, but if you're going to walk it, or, you know, if you need, like I said, back to the seniors or to the handicapped or disabled or something, that's a long ways. And so I would anticipate that they will probably be looking, and when we meet with them and talk with them, we'll be talking to them about, you know, being able to maybe pick up people at the seniors or provide some kind of a van service or something like that, because you know, we are the age that I am is the fastest growing in the state mm-hmm. of Alaska, and I think especially in, like, getting back just to the small community feeling that we have in Palmer, and so that is
So I'd like to still ask, it's not mm-hmm. so far into the past, this question: where were mm-hmm. you on November 30th at 8:29 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
when the earthquake
right.
struck? How,
yeah.
how did that, where
yeah.
did
well,
you feel it?
Yeah. Well, as we, you know, for regarding the city of Palmer, the city manager was out. We had a very capable, you know, public works director that was assisting the city manager, but my full-time job is at Alaska Job Corps, and so I was in the classroom because I go to work at 8. I don't get students until 9. I only had 2 students in the classroom, and so when it shook, we dove under our desk. I happen to have a desk that's probably about 3 or 4 inches thick, and they right. they have more like with heavy tables with their computers and stuff on. And so we wrote it out. But then we took all of the students to the dorm. So I was pretty well tied up there with them. And we had our, you know, public works out looking, as well as the police department just driving around and finding. And as I had said earlier, Palmer, we had a mayor's manager's meeting yesterday afternoon, and every, you know, city of Houston especially, you know, their city hall has some problems. Of course, one of their schools is not usable. Right. And the city of Wasilla did have some couple water breaks and things like that. But when it came time to talk about what Palmer had done or had happened to Palmer, there wasn't, you know, anything. I think we had a little bit question at the Palmer pool. But outside of that, we didn't have. But again, just like when we did have the meeting with Otto Feather and the press, we knew that everything was fine, but we didn't relay that to the public. And so that's an area we certainly do need to take and expand. I know Otto personally as well as professionally, and so I know that'll be something they will be on and.
We found that because we were on the air and able to share information, we didn't have many calls coming in. But those first few hours after an event like that were when people want to be reassured.
Sure, that's
so
right.
So even if things are okay, and you're saying, well, things are okay, so we're not going to tell. Well, no,
right.
You got to tell.
We know it's okay. So, but we didn't realize that we needed to reassure everybody else that it was okay. And, of course, it didn't help that Anchorage was on the TV every, you know, in the radio.
They did a wonderful job.
Yeah, every 15 minutes or whatever it was. Yeah. But the other thing is, you know, we don't, quote, have a I mean, we're thankful for you to be here, but we don't have a television crew out here where we could have called them together anyway and said, but we could certainly have played that better. Hopefully we don't need to
find out whether we did
learn or not. But we certainly apologize for not letting everybody know that we were fine, and we were glad they were fine too, but we needed to communicate.
Okay, last few moments we have here. I'm speaking with Mayor Edna DeVries, the mayor of Palmer. Any last comments to share with people?
No, I'm just enjoy being mayor, enjoy being in the town. We just get so many nice compliments regarding the lighting that we have downtown, and Colony Christmas again was, I think, a big success. I was in the parade for Job Corps, and when we come downtown, the people on both sides of the street were like 3 rows deep. And the weather that day had been sort of all. I think we had like 3 different weathers, didn't
we?
I think we had snow, we had wind, we had rain. But when it came time for the parade, it was calm, and you know, no moisture coming out of the sky.
And a wonderful, wonderful display of fireworks.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, it really was. So I'm just excited to we have, you know, as I said, some new businesses coming into town, and so that always helps the local economy, and so just looking forward to a great 2019.
All right. See you in 2019.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks, providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.